Thank you for coming to church this morning. It's great to see you. Maybe you've done this at some point. You go to a workshop or a retreat, and the leader of the workshop or the retreat asks you to write yourself a letter, which they hold on to, and in 6 or 8 months, they send you that letter that you've written to yourself. And so there you are, and suddenly you get in the mail a letter, which in my case, I always forget that I've written, and I really don't remember what I said in the letter, and it's always a nice little thing to say, hey, I got a letter. Who's the letter from? It's from me. How exciting. And I'm thinking of it in part because I got a letter this week that I wrote to myself when I was at a workshop in Connecticut back in August when it was sunny and warm, so the letter is filled with sunlight and warmth, and I forgot that I wrote the letter. But it's in my desk waiting for the day that I need to open this letter. And I'm waiting because of an experience of a friend of mine, a woman I went to seminary with. She was at a workshop and the leader asked her to write herself a letter. And so she did, and the leader held the letter. But right after the workshop, my friend went through some difficult times. Her husband lost her job. Her mother fell, and so she had to go take care of her mother. They had to reconfigure their finances, and just like life comes upon you. And she entered into this depressed state and felt like life was just on top of her. And she started to really struggle. And she was feeling bleak until one day she got this letter. And it was a letter from herself. And like me, she forgot that she wrote the letter. She couldn't remember what it said, but she opened it up, and the message in the letter was so simple. What she had written 6 months earlier, remember, God loves me, period, no matter what. And she said the recollection of her own knowledge of God's love, the fact that she knew in her heart that God loved her, reminded her that everything was okay, and it lifted her spirits in an incredible way. And I love that. And in my letter, whenever I've done this, I've written basically the same thing. Remember, Tom, God loves you. Sometimes I write, remember, handsome, God loves you. Or remember, sweetie, God loves you, depending on how I feel. But it's basically the same message, and I write it all the time just to remind myself and open it for that day when I really need it. It's this message of unconditional love which reaches across time, and what it does is it cuts through the fog. Whatever that fog is that we're going through at the moment, the confusion, the worry, the fear, the anger, whatever it is you feel at that moment, it's such a great message to remember that God loves me, that God loves you no matter what. And you might think, that's just such simple theology. What is that? How could that be the profound message of our life that we need to hear, that God loves us? Yet if you look at our scriptures, especially at our scriptures today, that's what it says. Here in the first lesson, the first reading from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah is talking about this time before Isaiah was born and the fact that God loved Isaiah so much that God knew Isaiah at that moment. That God loved Isaiah so much that God gave Isaiah a name and gave him gifts and skills for the purpose of living this life. That is attention. And you don't give that kind of attention out of a sense of nothingness. You give that attention from love. The psalm which we just read together, Psalm 40, one of my favorites, talks about a time we can all relate to when the psalmist feels that they are in a pit and God comes to that pit and God lifts the psalmist from that pit and God puts the psalmist on the rock. God saves the psalmist. You don't save someone out of a sense of impartiality. You save them because you love them. And in the 1 Corinthians, these first few lessons, these first few verses that we have from the letter to the Corinthians, Paul is talking about all the benefits that they receive because they are part of Jesus Christ. These are the benefits of love, the teaching, the strength, the enrichment, which come because of the great love that Jesus has for us. So it's the attention from Isaiah, it's the care and rescue from the psalm, it's the benefits from the Corinthians, it is this life-changing power to know and feel in your bones without a doubt that God loves you no matter what. And that love, that knowledge of that love affects your ability to earn money, it affects your ability to raise children, it affects your ability to relate to the world around you, to feed yourself, and to thrive. And we know the opposite is true as well. When you don't feel that you are loved, when you don't feel that you are acknowledged, when you don't feel that someone is going to come or some being or some force is going to come and rescue you, it's a curse. I think we felt that way, all of us at times, like that woman I knew. You feel this sense of being depraved of love. And when that happens, you need a letter. You need to get a letter that says, remember, God loves you. So imagine people on the streets who are sleeping under the bridges, who are sleeping along the riverbanks, who are constantly told by the police and by others in the community that they are not loved or welcome. Some of them, their families have told them because they are gay or lesbian or transgendered. Some of them are mentally unstable. Some of them are victims. Many men are victims of early childhood sexual abuse. And the eyes are not of the community are not met when they walk down the street. And they are not given basic dignity or respect. And our friend Nick Wedlake, our member Nick Wedlake, talks occasionally about Dominic, who's been here. Some of you might have met Dominic, who has stood many a time at the Memorial Bridge. And one time Dominic was standing there with a sign that said, hungry, please give me food, something like that. And a car drove up, the driver rolled down the window and said, are you hungry? And Dominic said, yes. And the driver threw a sandwich at his head and drove off laughing. And what does that do to you? What does that do to someone who's been kicked out of his home already? You know, here at the cathedral, we're opening a drop-in center, which we've talked a little bit about. But part of the idea of the drop-in center is that it is a safe space with security where, at least for now, one day a week, for a few hours, people can come in, have a place to sleep, have a place to read, to do the crossword puzzle, to get something warm to drink, maybe wash some clothes, and maybe attend a 12-step meeting, but where mainly someone can come in and we will look at them in the eyes and we will acknowledge them and we will say to them, remember, God loves you, no matter what. They will get that letter in the mail. There's another group that's been weighing on my heart since prior to Christmas, which is the community of refugees in the world, the people who are fleeing death and destruction and horrible lives in parts of the world like the Middle East or Latin America or Africa. And some of you know this, but last year the government made a change in the way that municipalities in the United States receive refugees. And now you have to tell the country, you have to tell the government that yes, you want to receive people. Before they would just send people, but now the change is that you have to actually say yes, although that's being contested in court. But in Christmas, by Christmas, which was the deadline, Mayor Sarno had not said yes. So basically, he said, the community of Springfield is not going to acknowledge refugees. We're not going to welcome however many people. It's not a lot. And we're going to turn our backs, and we're going to keep walking. We won't look at them in the eyes, and we won't tell them that we love them. The Interfaith Council of Greater Springfield, which the cathedral is a part of, signed a letter to the mayor saying, let's reconsider this. Because we are people of faith, churches and mosques and synagogues, let's think about what this says. But still, there's been no answer. And on Friday, Linda and I went to a South Church and met with a group of Somali Bantu refugees who were going to go to the mayor's office. And there among them was a young girl named Ajira, who's one of my son Jefferson's best friends, who's from Somalia. And they were going to go to the mayor's office and say, just look us in the eye and meet with us. And that didn't happen. The reason I signed that letter, the reason for me why this is an important issue is because I got a letter in the mail that says, remember, God loves you. And part of that means that I share that with everyone. I get to share that with people who know it, and I get to share it, moreover, with people who don't feel it, including people who are living and dying with AIDS, including refugees, including people in prison, including the elderly who've been forgotten, and foster children, and folks sleeping on the streets. That the fact that I know that I'm loved means I can share a little of that. I have more love than I need. I have more resources. And it's not a lot. In fact, it's everything to look someone else in the eye and stand before them and talk about how much they're loved. And when you do that, you become the love of God. So along comes Jesus today, walking up to John the Baptist, and there are two of John's followers, and as Jesus walks on, the followers follow Jesus, and after a little while, he turns back and he says to them, "What are you looking for?" And the answer is what we're all looking for. We're looking for love. The reason I'm here at church is I want love. I don't care if it's snowing a few inches. Like the guys in the gospel, I think our lives are so insecure at times, and they are so empty at times, and they are so wanting at times, that we spend our days, whether we're working or with our families or our friends, or we're shopping or we're on social media or we're just watching Netflix, whatever we're doing, what we're really working on and looking for is that unconditional love. I think 90% of what we spend our time doing is looking for that, to fill that space inside us. And the truth is that we've got it. We celebrated his birth a couple weeks ago. We're going to celebrate his resurrection in a couple months. And every day we get to hear about him. And he turns back to us every single day. And he says, "What are you looking for?" And we get to say, "We're looking for you. We're looking for love." And so if we've gotten that message, I'm going to give you homework. I very rarely give people homework. I don't know how I'll grade your homework. It's really up to you. But your homework, if you desire to, is to give that message, to write that letter, to send that email to one person. Remember, God loves you, no matter what. If we have, we should give. If we've been blessed, we should bless. If we've received, we should make sure that everyone receives. So I want to close just today thinking about the refugees in our country, the Somali Bantu community here in our city, thinking about Dominique and Malachi, who was here this morning, thinking about others who are on the streets, thinking about those who have been cast aside because of their sexuality or their orientation or their identity, and thinking about all those who just want this message, and especially and including us. Remember, God loves you. Amen.